Good morning. Let's open our Bible to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And I'll begin this morning's lesson reading the first six verses. first six verses of a chapter that's very familiar to us, but we want to focus especially on the opening verses of this chapter on the great subject of faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. For by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts. And through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. So that last statement is that God rewards those who have faith. Faith has its rewards. And there's nothing more fundamental than faith. There's nothing more essential than faith. And he makes the statement here that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So we understand that faith is really the essence of our relationship with God. Everything else that we could say about our relationship with God, everything else that the Bible teaches about coming to God and having a relationship with him, being his disciples, being his children, it all comes back to faith, doesn't it? It's just the basis. Faith is the basis of our part in that relationship. Now, any relationship, there are two parts. There are two parties involved. In every human relationship, there are at least two individuals involved in that relationship. So in the relationship that we have with God, there is the part that God plays and there's the part that we play. It's a mutual relationship. Our part is about faith, isn't it? And so whatever else is involved is about faith. From the first time when we first become a Christian, it's about faith. It is about faith when we think about living the Christian life. Paul says that we walk by faith and not by sight. When we think about our worship like we do today, we lift up our voices and sing to a God that we cannot see. We recall events that we were not there to witness. We exult in the resurrection of Christ that we accept by faith. All these things you see are by faith. And then we try to live our lives by faith, being faithful through trials and tribulations and the challenges of life. It's all about faith, isn't it? Without faith, it is impossible to please God. So this is one of the great scriptural texts on the subject of faith. The entire chapter deals with the subject of faith, but the premises are laid out right here in the beginning verses, and that's what I want us to think about this morning. What faith is, what it does, and especially think about the rewards that God promises to us when we seek Him and walk with Him by faith. So let's think about some of the aspects of faith and the rewards that are promised to us. First of all, it's an interesting statement in verse 3 when he says, by faith we understand. you ever think about it that way? By faith, we understand. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith, we understand. You know, there are some things that you cannot understand without faith. There are some things you cannot understand by using your intellect. There are some things you cannot understand simply by what you observe with your eyes. Although all of those abilities that our Creator endowed us with help us to come to a greater faith by observing the evidences that God has provided for us in this marvelous creation. But ultimately, we cannot fully understand God. We cannot fully understand the blessings that God has for us apart from faith. By faith, we understand that the worlds were made by the Word of God. So there's understanding that comes through faith. We often look to the first verse of the chapter for a definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Two words stand out in that passage. Faith is assurance and it is conviction. It is assurance of things hoped for, it is conviction of things not seen. Faith has to do with things we cannot see with our eyes. Faith has to do with things that are yet in the future. And yet we accept them by faith. We cannot see those things. And yet we have assurance. We have conviction. Faith is conviction of things, the substance of things hoped for, the King James Version says. That is, faith is that which underlies our hope. It is the foundation, the firm foundation of our hope, and so assurance. And it is the conviction or the evidence of things not seen. It is, we have this conviction of things not seen. Faith is not just a wistful longing or wishful thinking. It looks forward with assurance and convictions. And Paul, and so the writer says that we understand by faith. We perceive with the mind, not with mere feelings or emotions. And I just want us to understand that faith is not something that's contrary to our reason or to our understanding, but it does go beyond our reason and understanding. Faith is essential to true understanding, to true knowledge of God. And faith is established on evidence that appeals to our reason. Now, when the writer says that by faith we understand certain things, this does not mean that we believe only what we can understand intellectually. In fact, often the people of old that are described in this passage of Scripture, people of faith, believed what God said, even if they did not understand how He would accomplish it. Do we not realize that's true? I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and it is supported by amazing evidence, by eyewitnesses who saw Him alive and who testified that they saw Him alive. That's profound evidence. And yet I do not begin to comprehend the power that could make it possible for Him to come from the grave after 3 days. You see the difference? So we don't necessarily understand everything that God's promised to us. We don't understand how God can do these things. But we do believe in the power of God's Word. By our faith in what God says, by faith in the things that God has promised to us, we have a knowledge about things we could not see with our eyes, things that are yet to come. Our faith is such that we are just as sure of it as if we ourselves had witnessed it. And so we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, one of the reasons we can have faith like that is because God has not left us without witnesses. He's left, His fingerprints are everywhere in creation, we might say. when the book of Acts tells about Paul's visit in the town of Lystra, and he addresses these people. These people believed in idolatry. They believed in all of their gods, and they even thought that Paul and Barnabas were gods that had come down from the sky. And the Apostle Paul uses that opportunity to speak to them, and he talks to them about the God who made the heaven and earth and the sea and all that's in it. And it says in verse 17 that he did not leave himself without witness, in that he gave you, he did you good and gave you rains from heaven and fruitful seasons, satisfying your hearts with food and gladness. You know, the witness of God's power and the witness of God's presence all around us. And it's especially around us when we look at the creation. God has left evidence of design and purpose in this universe. And I believe that before too long we need to have a lesson, just look at some of the evidences, some examples of that. But the scriptures tell us that the evidence of God, the evidences that God has left, the witness that he has provided, they're right before our eyes. We have evidence of a creator who created all of these things out of nothing. And so back in Hebrews 11 and verse 3, he says that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. God created all of these things that we see out of nothing. And why do we believe that? Well, because the Bible tells us, for one thing. If we go back to the book of Psalms, Psalm 33 provides for us an amazing summary of why we believe these things. In verse 6, Psalm 33, verse 6, by the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea together as a heap. He lays up the deeps in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it was done. He commanded and it stood fast. And so the psalmist just recalls what we read in Genesis, where the Bible says, and God said, let there be light. Why do we believe in a God who is all-powerful? Simply because there is no other adequate way to explain such a beautiful and complex and well-designed universe as we see all around us every day. David recognized this. Psalm 19, verse 1, he says, the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens declare glory. We see evidence of God when we look at the sun, moon, and the stars. We see evidence of God when we observe this beautiful creation. We have to think of God even when you think about the ability to appreciate its beauty in the first place. What is beauty? What is goodness? What is morality? A famous philosopher once said, two things fill the mind with ever-increasing awe and admiration: the starry heavens above and the moral law within. And so the creation shows us God's eternal power and divine nature, Romans 1:20. We see evidence of God. And so, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the Word of God. And He created all these things out of nothing. But this text also tells us something else. It tells us that one of the rewards of faith is the ability to persevere in our hope. So he says faith is the assurance of things hoped for. Among the things that we accept by faith, things that we cannot see with our eyes, are those future promises, those things that God has promised to us by His Word, the same Word that was the power to bring all things into creation. By His Word, He has promised us great blessings to come. We cannot see those yet. And yet faith is the assurance. It is the firm foundation of the things that we hope for. We sometimes, I think, very appropriately define hope as desire combined with expectation. Desire because the things we hope for are things that are beautiful and wonderful, and we eagerly anticipate realizing. Expectation because God promised these things. Hope is not simply wishful thinking. Hope is based upon God's promises. And so we hope because we believe God's promises. Here in Hebrews 11, down in verse 13, after introducing the patriarchs, Abraham included, he says, all these died in faith, having received the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of that country from which they went out, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country. That is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Why did Abraham continue to live his life in faith, even though he never was able to realize himself personally all of the blessings, all of the future blessings that God had promised? Because he walked by faith. Because God promised it, and he believed what God had said. God was always with him. And that's what faith is all about. We hope because we believe God's Word. We hold to the promises. And when we hold to the promises, it affects all of our thoughts, and it affects our words and our deeds, the way we live. And so we persevere. The book of Hebrews is about faith that perseveres. It was written to a generation of Christians who were in danger of giving up their walk with Christ and going back to what they had before. That was the situation. And what he is saying to them is that you need to hold to your faith. You need to hold to the promises that God has made. And he goes on to say that we have this hope, and he compares it to the anchor. An anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. That's how we persevere. That's how we get through. That's how we make it through the challenges and the difficulties of life. Because we have faith, and faith is the assurance of the things that we hope for. We have something ahead of us. God's done so much for us already, but He has promised to do so much more, you see. It's about looking to the reward. Moses looked to the reward, this passage says. He looked to the reward because he considered the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. He was looking to the reward. You see, that's what faith is all about. It looks to the future. And so with perseverance, we wait for the things that God has promised. We wait in faith. And by our faith, we can have hope. In third place, this text talks about God's good testimony and what a reward that is. In verse 6, he says that he is the rewarder of those who seek him. Look at verse 2. By faith, the men of old gained approval. They obtained a good report. Some of the translations say they obtained a good report. They obtained God's good testimony. This word means to bear witness. And here it means to be well spoken of or well testified of. It means they were approved of God. It means they received God's commendation. And God said, well done, because you're walking by faith. And that expression is used several times in this text. You know, we all want to be appreciated. We all like to be acknowledged. Like when we work in our jobs, we go to our jobs and we work and we work and work. We invest our effort. We invest our time. In many cases, we invest years and years and years working for a company. Don't you like to be recognized from time to time and for someone to say, "Yes, I appreciate you"? Listen to me. This text is saying, by faith, the men of old gained God's approval. It's kind of like getting a report card, and you're getting a good report from your teacher, and you bring it home and show mom and dad, "Look, I got a good report card." Sometimes you bring them home, the report card's not so good, but you like to bring home a good report. God has given His testimony, a good testimony, to those who walk by faith. And how important that especially would be to those who lived in a society where being esteemed by others was so highly prized. The message is that God's esteem of us, God's approval of us, is far more important than the approval of men. And a lot of folks have it just backwards. People of the world have it all backwards. In John chapter 12, verse 43, it says that there were those among the Jews who came to believe in Jesus, but it says they did not accept Him, they did not confess Him, because they loved the approval of men more than the approval of God. They had it wrong. And too often we have it wrong. We like to be to have the approval of our peers. We like to have the approval of men. That's natural. We want to have the approval of those we associate with. We want to have the approval of our parents. We want to have the approval of our teachers, our employers, whatever it might be. But listen to me, all of those things should be secondary when compared to the approval that we desire to have from our Creator. That's the most important thing, isn't it? To have God's approval. Those from the Old Testament that are talked about in Hebrews 11 gained approval from God because of their faith. That is, they received a good testimony from God because they sought after Him by faith. That's what defined their life. That was their priority. So listen to what he says, just some examples here. Verse 4, he talks about Abel. By faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now listen, By his faith, he offered a better sacrifice, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. There it is. God testified about his gifts that he was righteous. There's the example of Enoch. Now, you remember what the Bible says about Enoch. We don't know much about him, but what a great epitaph we have there in the Old Testament when it says that Enoch walked with God. And he was taken up. He walked with God. What kind of man was he? He was a man of faith. He walked with God. So what does it say here in verse 5? It says, by faith Enoch was taken up so he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the testimony that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. So what kind of testimony did he get? He got a good testimony. He got a good report card, didn't he? And what was the reason for it? Because he walked by faith. He walked with God. That was his life. And then we have Noah. Noah, remember the story of Noah? We know the story. Several chapters in Genesis devoted to that. But here it just sums it up by saying, Noah, when he was warned by God about things not yet seen. Think about Noah is going to have to spend years and years and years building an ark, preparing for a flood. And the only way he knows about the flood, about this particular weather report, is because God said, I'm going to send rains on the earth and it's going to bring a flood and it's going to destroy everything. So you need to be prepared. And that takes a lot of faith. Evidence of things not seen. You know, the assurance of things not seen. There it is. And so it says he was warned by God about things not yet seen. in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world. He became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And of course, then he talks about Abraham, and there are so many examples of Abraham. It says, Abraham, when he was called, he obeyed. When he was told to offer Isaac, he obeyed. And according to James chapter 2, when he did these things, he was called the friend of God. Good testimony. He was called the friend of God. And of course, all these examples show us, don't they, how faith in God's word is always demonstrated in humble obedience. It's not simply believing with our mind or with our heart. It's not simply agreeing to an idea. It is living and acting as if what God has said is absolutely true and reliable, and living and acting with the assurance that what he has promised is going to come to pass without fail. That's faith. Faith obeys. And of course, the greatest example is the example of Jesus himself. In the fifth chapter of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 5, he said, even though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered and became the author of those, author of salvation to those who believe. He is the greatest example of obedience. So faith has its rewards: understanding, perseverance, God's good testimony. And then finally, the reward of searching for God is that we can find him. Verse 6 then, he says, he is a rewarder of those who seek him. If we seek for God, the promise is in Scripture, if we seek for him, we can find him. It is in man's nature to seek his Creator. God made us that way. How sad that we can spend our lives often seeking after everything else except God. We want to seek after riches. We want to seek after success. We pursue pleasure and popularity, fame, all these things that we can get wrapped up in and dedicate our lives. I'm after this. I'm pursuing this goal. I'm seeking after all of these things. And we overlook the one fundamental about the way we're made and the one who made us. And that is that we were made in the image of God. God has placed eternity in the hearts of men so that immersed in time, we as humans, beings, we have been made in the image of God. We long to know something of eternity. Isaiah 55 verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Proverbs 23:23, buy the truth and do not sell it. Seek wisdom and understanding. Prize her and she will exalt you. She will honor you if you embrace her. She will place on your head a garland of grace. She will present you with a crown of beauty. Proverbs 4. As Jesus said, hunger and thirst after righteousness. The scriptures are just filled with these exhortations, with these invitations to seek the Lord, seek his ways, seek his word, seek him. Seek and you will find, Jesus said. So God created us in his image so that we would seek for him. Remember last Sunday in our Bible class, we were studying from Acts chapter 17, Paul's great message to the people of Athens there at Mars Hill. And the whole lesson is about this very point, is that God created us. He made from one man all of mankind, so that we would seek him. So that we would seek him. What nobler pursuit of knowledge can there be than for us to seek God, our Creator? As a poet said, and the Apostle Paul quoted this poet in that sermon, he said, we are his offspring. He made us in his image, and he established in man an impulse that leads us beyond that which is visible, beyond that which is temporal, toward the eternal. And so, we walk by faith. What greater reward can there be than for us to find Him? See, He says He rewards those who seek Him. Well, what's the reward? If we seek Him, what's the reward? We'll find Him. And at the end of life's journey, when we stand before Him in judgment, we want to hear Him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And so there can be purpose to life. Does life really have a purpose if we're not serving our Creator? That's what we want to do. So we're going to stand in a moment and sing the invitation song. It's been announced. Have your book open and ready to stand and sing. And as we do, if there's anyone that we can assist today in your walk with God, and you're coming to God, and you're seeking after God, if you're ready to confess His name and be baptized, if there's anything we can do to help you, please come and let us know right now while we sing.
Give me thy heart as a father.